This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
This week, our recommendation is Fireside, the Irish storytelling podcast, Kevin C. Olohan. I love this sort of stuff. If you're in any way into the myths and legends and secrets of what the hell scares you at night or is the history of Ireland, this is the podcast for you. Folklore all over the gaff, really. And there's like, I'm looking here, there's like 130 episodes already. So you have a lot to catch up on. Oh my God, you'll never see a human being in the same light again if you listen to this. Fantastic. So that's our recommendation this week. You look at the names of the episodes, in fairness. The Sprightly Tailor, The Hawk of Achill, Conal Yellowclaw, Part 1, The Manor of Tara. This is fucking brilliant. I can't wait to listen to this. I can't believe I didn't know this was a thing. I love this type of stuff so much.
This is the whole point of this, why we cross promote.
Oh, seriously, The Field of Garters. That sounds filthy, actually. Witch Horns.
Oh, how's your witch for a horn?
The Enchanting Earl, The 12 Wild Geese. Oh, man.
This is what the promo sounds like.
Once upon a time. Fireside is the Irish storytelling podcast. Every week we breathe new life into old stories from folklore and mythology, from the mysterious landing of the old Celtic gods to the epic wars fought by Cú Chulainn and Queen Maeve, right down to the petty squabbles between headstrong mortals and roguish fairies. We already have a huge collection available with a new episode every Wednesday. This is not just a podcast for folklore fiends, but for anyone who enjoys a good story. And who doesn't love a good story? My name is Kevin C. Olohan, and I am your host and your fireside bard. Wherever you are in the world, you can always join me by the fireside.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're in for a treat because you're listening to the Dubland Podcast with Suzanne and PJ.
Shove your Dubland Podcast up your ear holes.
How's your week been?
Oh, yeah, grand, yeah. I mean, grand, yeah. It's a bit of a pain in the fucking hairy bits that we now are don't have the fifth to look forward to.
But is that officially?
It is. They're fucking doing their usual thing where they release a little bit of information and then they don't, you know. And it'll be the 19th of fucking Arcerary. It'll be some other time. It'll be
pushed
off. The 19th
of August is my birthday.
It'll be the 19th of July, I'd say, is what they're going to say.
So
this is our guest now.
They're going to push it at 2 weeks.
I know nothing.
So this is like the UK.
I know nothing.
So this is like the UK. Let me see. Does Richard Chambers or has a reliable source put anything up? I did see a bar close by that said that near me that was like, that's amazing. We've just ordered all of our, for the first time in 18 months, because you're giving us the fifth, we've just ordered all of our beer, all of our mixers.
A spa?
No, a bar.
Oh, a bar. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean to a spa? I was like, a spa. So I'm suddenly.
They've literally just spent their time, do you know what I mean, ordering everything, waiting for this day because there was a wet pub, and now you've given us no notification and I have like thousands of euro worth of gear.
Yeah, it's fucked. I'm actually angry about it. Like, I mean, if they gotta do it, they gotta do it, but tell me this, right?
Yeah.
If everybody is already vaccinated that's vulnerable, right, and there's not, and this new variant, this new Delta fucking plus, it's starting to sound like fucking shampoo. Isn't it? It's starting to sound like fucking shampoo. Oh, you're on the Delta? Oh, no, I use the Delta Plus, yeah. But you need to use a Pfizer conditioner to get the fucking best out of it. So it's starting to feel like a shampoo. And so you've all got this, right? So say, and it still works against it, right?
Right.
The vaccine still works against it.
Yeah, you won't be hospitalised and it won't make you very
so,
sick.
So what's the fucking point anymore? Like, sure, if all we're getting is the people, if the only people who are going to catch it now are at a level where they're just going to be mildly sick because they're young and they're healthy or whatever, and like high risk people of that age group and the oldies and the middle aged shit the beds like me. If we're all vaccinated, then who gives a fuck, right? And are we not at that stage yet? No.
So this,
why are we still worrying about this at this stage? Is it not like the time to let her rip? Like if you let her rip now, and nobody gets sick, or people get sick, but the people aren't in harm. What am I missing? I'm quite willing to be educated on this. I'm not doing my whole, why do we do this? And like when you're trying to say that you're right. I don't know. I'm missing something here.
I think I'm the same. I said it to Joey the other night and then I was like, because I've purposely stopped watching the news. Now, Al might know because you know the way Al just be.
No, me and Al had this conversation before you came in and we were both shaking our heads in distress.
We need a scientist of some description. But so, because
Luke O'Neill, because I'm sick of his positivity now. I'm fucking done with that. I'm pissed off now with all this positive shit. Every time you give us positivity and then you trip us up, they can all fuck off with all of that now.
I'm done with all of that now.
I want people to just tell me, here's why we're worried. You know?
I saw Ciara Kelly, and I think Ciara Kelly is a good leveller in terms of, because obviously she has the medical background.
Yeah, by the way, I do think Luke O'Neill is brilliant, but I just want, you know, I mean, emotion's getting the better of me.
I
like the fella. I'm just sick of the positivity around it.
I'm going to ask you, I don't know whether you guys discussed this before I came in, but this is the question I asked Joey the other day. And again, I would love someone to tell me exactly as you say and educate me as to the difference of it, right? But that we're, so every single day, I don't look at them anymore, but the numbers are still every week or every night.
Down.
Put the numbers up, right? So they go, they put them up, like as in 258, 332, 292, 304. Night in, night out, they go up. And then it says, so I think the cases in ICU are like, is it 11 people in ICU?
I don't know.
Or whatever that is, right? And so I said to Joey the other night, I was like, I'm not comparing the two, but please stick with me on my naivety on this, right? Before we ever knew about COVID, right? And we had flu, I don't mean a bloke gun, I got a bit of a cold. I mean proper flu. Flu that's dangerous for pregnant women. Flu that's dangerous for our vulnerable. Flu that's dangerous for the most compromised, right?
Yeah.
That if we were to go around the country and swab every single person who had the actual flu, how many hundred people would there be? And how many people would be in hospital with the flu, right? And I get it that the flu and COVID aren't the same thing and the COVID is way more vicious.
It's more like a cold than the flu.
Yeah, so, but are we at a point now that it's like, it kind of almost is at the same, do you know what I mean? It's like, but if you were to swab people to say, that 2 summers ago, you know what I mean? Like, as in, we're vaccinated against, the majority of people are now vaccinated against it. If you have Pfizer or AstraZeneca, and even if you get this new Delta variant, you won't end up critically ill dying in hospital. There's like a 0.1% of younger generation who are the least vulnerable that could end up very, very sick with it. But in turn, they could end up with going on a plane and getting deep vein thrombosis or doing the same. So it's like, I'm kind of not understanding why we're still showing the figures, why we're not moving forward.
This is what I don't know. This is what I'm asking you.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I'm kind of in the same boat, whereas up until now, I've gone, okay, but now I'm like, I know it's a bit simplistic to go, but if 2 years ago you swabbed for actual flu, I think if you swabbed 2 years ago for a real flu, you'd have 2,000 cases.
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean?
I totally agree with you.
The same thing, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if
I don't
we need
know
to do
we're
more...
Still giving out
Grant,
numbers.
I'm quite happy to do more. I want to do everything I can.
But what else can we
but
do?
I don't fucking know. That's why I'm lost. I'm lost. I've come out this end of it now going, right, what are we doing? Why are we still like this? Everything you just said makes perfect sense to me.
Not doing it anymore. Like
everything you said just makes perfect sense to me.
But then we have a problem.
But then we do have a problem.
But like everywhere, if you look at everywhere else in Europe, I get it.
Look at the Euros. Look at the Euros and like the way they have all these people in the stadium.
There's a stadium the other night with 25,000 people in it.
Well, Budapest, Hungary is a different case. I think that's a different case. They're just
They did an antigen test.
They're 100% capacity, right? I don't think 100% capacity is probably the way to go.
Did Bose have a game the other night?
Yes, 100 people.
How did they do it? We talked about this before. Did you get to go?
That's the capacity. Well, I had to volunteer to work to get in. So I did. It was grand. Yeah,
did you
enjoyed it. Yes, I did. Yeah, I didn't get a ticket because I wasn't in the selected membership at the time.
Okay.
So I volunteered to work. They still needed people. So that was grand. So I got in. Yeah, so
brilliant.
It was fantastic. Holy shit, the bed
and
almighty.
They won, didn't
it was
they beat
fantastic.
Rovers?
And they beat Rovers and it was one of the best nights for me. I have to, you know, it was just brilliant. It was brilliant for me.
Were you doing stand up in the? Is that what you were working?
No,
doing?
I wasn't. No, no.
in the dressing room.
I was doing the names outside.
Stop it.
Yes, which is like brutal for me because I feel weird. But anyway, look, I was doing it.
Chatting to people.
It was a great night. Yeah, chatting to people. Yeah, and it was so amazing to get back out. But still, it was only 100 people. 100.
Right. Yeah.
100.
But now, how many people were in the Camogie final? 2,500.
Where?
In Croker?
I don't. Was there? Right, okay, and that's a, whatever capacity.
It's 85,000 full. Well, yeah. You could take the hill into consideration.
And they're only letting 2,000 whatever
in. I think that could be me grossly exaggerating that there was 2,000
people. Well, that's still very, 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 very minimal compared to the rest of Europe.
It's not even 10%.
So I'm starting to feel a little bit hard done by when it comes to the rest of Europe. I'm starting to think, well, if they're all able to do this and they're able to do it semi-safely, then why can't we do it? If everybody that we needed to be made safe with vaccines has been made safe with vaccines, then what the fuck is going on? That's the question. That is the question.
I'd
love
get
to
it.
Hear the answer. If somebody can say this is why,
can
and I go,
get a
yeah,
scientist,
grand,
Alan?
100%. I'm willing to do it.
Yeah, we'll get Luke O'Neill in. No problem.
No.
And not Sam McConkie. It's too depressing. Can we find a new scientist who's been hiding for the past 18
months? That can explain this period that we're in at the moment, because I think everybody's got the same questions more or less. If they're not, like, now I know there's people out there who read Facebook every day and go, I'll tell you why the new world order is a thing. I met a fella, right, this is serious, like, I'm not even joking. I know this man right. Now we're not friends, thankfully, but I know him.
Okay,
he is now telling me that because we've been vaccinated, right,
yeah,
lads, right, yeah, we're all sterile now, our sperm is dead, right.
Oh, that'd be good for Joey and
but
I.
They'll never tell us that our sperm is dead. They'll never tell us.
Right.
So we're gone. You and Joey, you're safe. Yeah. Joey has dead flu. We all have dead flu. We're all gone, right? Dead flu. We all have dead flu. And he is now working on it. He doesn't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to make his millions selling his sperm when this is all exposed. This is his lifetime plan. He's not even fucking around.
He quite literally wants to be, though.
Well, I don't know. He doesn't even know. He's trying to work out how to get it from his business into someone else's business.
The vessel.
As a transaction.
The vessel.
Yeah, he's sure. Man, there's fucking crazy people out there. Like, there's crazy. He's 100%. Like, this is the deal. This is the deal.
But people are like, so I think that there's...
That sort of shit is growing, though, isn't it?
There's the normal people. Like, as in not normal people, but there's people just trying to get integrate back into society. And then there's the people who have we've all been injected with 5G and that we're all part of a big global experiment, and you have all of that side. And then you have the complete and utter, like, still COVID terrified, you know, it's still out there, it's still very rampant, we still need to be like, who are you with? What does the HSE say about, you know, like, so it's all that. Like, I'll be fucking straight up honest, I went to Marks and Spencer's, which I need to stay in my own lane because I shouldn't be in Marks and Spencer's in the first place, but anyways, my way of getting there.
Sure, I'd love to go to Marks and Spencer's with you. I'd love to go to Marks and Spencer's with you.
I'll bring you anytime.
I would love that, just for a stroll around the Percy Pigs.
Oh, that's what I did, right? Yeah. I went for the food and then I was debating maybe going to get fit for a bra, and then I was like, oh, it's too hot, too sweaty, anyway, I didn't want to expose anybody to that, so, but I needed to cough.
Oh, yeah,
all I needed to do was go.
That's not even a cough.
No, I just
clear your throat.
I had like a little piece of flint or something for my mask. Yeah, I just wanted to go. So I went, don't cough.
You were freaked.
I had a full-on fucking panic attack.
Because you thought other people would think you were walking around with the COVID.
I was terrified to the point I got to the counter, and the lady at the counter, her name was Lorraine, and she was a proper ma because she just went like that, move. And I was like, oh my God, now I'm getting taken out of the queue because I have. And she just went, press the button, opened the two doors. She was like, take your mask off. And then I'm crying.
Stop
I'm having
it. You got
such,
this upset.
I was so upset. But I was having, I couldn't catch, because you know when you start stifling your breath, you start to stifle your, like, I couldn't catch my breath then.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like stiflingly warm on Marks and Spencer's. So she opened the two double doors and the cold air just hit me and she said, take your mask off. So I'm trying to shake, telling her that I'm fully vaccinated, and she's trying to hand me water. So I had a drink of the water. Like, did a big, like, cough. Put my mask back on. She's like, take a breath. Went over. She's like, now, €103. And I handed her my card. Like, it was the most unfuss.
So she must be seeing this all the time then.
And that's what she said to me. She said, everybody is doing it. And it's roasting hot outside. She was like, people are wearing masks. It's really warm. And she goes, and people are out in shops. And we like, I haven't wandered around a clothes shop in months. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I actually was just, I got completely overwhelmed, needed to cough, and then went, oh, Jesus, don't cough. Because if you cough, people will think that you have COVID. Then got myself in a worse state about it. But that, like, I'm kind of struggling with that, like, trying to get back into society.
Yeah.
Like, even the other night, when we turned up outside your gaff, we had a baby. So my mom was
that
like,
was very
oh,
weird.
I know, I'll talk about that.
I got a picture from them standing off the outside of my house. Her and Joey sent me a picture of the two of them outside my house as I was in bed. That's very weird shit.
I said to Joey's, like, take a picture.
I'm like, they've never been in my house. Like,
did
never
you get out of bed?
No, I didn't. I lay there like I should have called the guards. It was a deeply uncomfortable, weird situation to be in.
We were already gone at that stage.
And then you made the most incredible observation ever. Do you know what? I was talking to someone only last week, and, like, you know, my friend from Killiney, right? And
she, my friend from Killiney.
Yeah, Una, right?
Oh, okay.
So I was talking to Una.
Oh, writer Una.
Yeah, writer Una, who deadly. I work with, right? Yeah. I love Una, right? And Una's like, you know, she's got this, you know, she's got a husky kind of north side or south side accent, you know. And she was there going, I think I have it. She goes, I know, I'm going to make a sweeping generalization. She goes, you're not going to like, she goes, right? And she was like, when it comes to men, you know, she was there. In the south side, we have entitled wankers who think they can ride you whenever they want type of lads. And we have all this, and they think they can do whatever they want, right? She goes, but, and that's on the south side. She goes, but on the north side, what we have is macho bastards, right? I was like, you all this, every time you meet each other, it's, oh yeah, how's it going? How's your flu? Why did you watch the match? You have to, she says, I have to, every time you meet someone, she goes, I have to endure 30 minutes of, ah, let's exclude all the women here when we talk about football and I owe you a fucking one tiller on a horse and how big your school bag was. Ah! I said, fuck off. This is not true, right? And she goes, no, it's just an observation. She's there, you got this macho bullshit going on that she said, I never saw growing up. She goes, you got this macho bullshit. I was there, well, I don't think it's macho bullshit. I think you're bullying me, which is just me trying to end the conversation.
I have to go now.
But and then I was like, okay, I'm thinking about this. And then Suzanne sends me a message, and it's the most odd and perfect generalization about Northside people I have ever heard in my life. You said, why are people on the Northside always carrying things? I was like, that is the greatest. We are always carrying things.
We always have. Now,
we're always carrying things. And that day I was out, I had my sunblock and my keys and my little wallet. And I had my jumper and my light jacket. I was out for my walk. I was carrying things. And then you were like, I don't know why you people are always carrying things.
It's something on the north side. It's flat. And you're always carrying
it's
things.
Very flat.
But I said it to Joey. Things. And Joey's like, why did you... Where? And I went, did you ever notice that though? They're always... And as soon as we crossed over the Liffey, no one was carrying anything. But maybe that falls into Una's thing of our sense of entitlement is that we just order to our gaffs.
I don't know what that is. Maybe
these people go to the
shop. Everyone does that now, don't they?
And they go, would you like that delivered? It. And they on the north side, they go, no, I'll carry it home with a big box. And on the south side, they go, yes, please, I'll pay the €5 delivery.
I don't know. I can't figure it out, but it's a very real thing. There's a lot of carrying going on.
Next time you're on the north side, watch out for the carriers.
And I think
people
that,
just carrying stuff everywhere.
And I don't think it's an economic divide thing. I think like it's from Malahide to Ballymun.
Oh no, it's across
we're
the board.
We're all carrying shit.
No, it's across the board.
Yeah, we're all
we
carrying
went from
shit.
Hoth all the way in through Sheriff Street. Like, so you're going from one extreme.
And people were carrying
and
things.
And there was people carrying things everywhere.
And then you went from Ringsend to true fucking
back to, back
sandy
to
mountain. Everyone's and
no
one
carrying anything.
What a weirdly amazing thing. Yeah, do you know something? I think you're right. Because I remember, like, there was this one time Leinster were playing in the Aviva and the Dubs were on in Croke Park at the same day.
There's a culture clash.
Yeah, and I was living in Dunleary, right?
Oh,
and I think I remember telling you this. So that meant I had to cross the toll bridge to get to Croke Park, right? And talk about the crossing of cultures. It's what I can only imagine was like when they called partition in India to make Pakistan and India. And the two people who were once the same just went different directions, right? So you always heading south on the toll bridge.
Right.
Heading to the Aviva.
You're going to cross over at the
toll bridge, yeah.
Yeah.
So literally on the Liffey, heading southwards, where people with picnic baskets and blankets for the match. You know, and they were like, yeah, you know, the little
snipes.
The little snipes and all that. Yeah, they're heading to the match.
Little pair of shoes and dupes.
Leinster, Leinster. You know this carry
They're
on.
Not. It's more of a Leinster. You know this. It's not aggressive.
Leinster. Yes, it was all this, and like, the, and everybody was like, it was all.
See that you just everyone was like you. You just nearly went.
No, it's like everyone was like boat shoes.
Oh, blue.
They were all boat.
No deck shoes.
Boat shoes or whatever they're called. Deck shoes.
Dubs.
Deck dubs and fucking canvas shorts. It was all that carry on.
Okay.
Heading that way, and the other way, it was like it was a different world. But it was chickens. It was fucking roast chickens in a bag, and people like, come on, you boys in blue. Come on, you boys in blue. I got six cans and a chicken, boys in blue. It was all that shit. It was chicken rolls and sacks of Polish beer heading towards the opposite.
The walk to Croker when you cross over
amazing.
Is bizarre.
But the fact that two matches were on the same day. And you're like, there is still...
And quite literally, everybody's the boys in blue, but they're very different boys in blue.
It was two very different groups of boys in blue. Yeah. Fucking hell.
Oh
I don't know.
God.
I just thought it was a great observation. I don't know. You struck a nerve. You struck a very...
It was one because I was outside your gaff taking a picture.
That was weird.
Was weird. And then two, I just made a general observation that everybody on the north side carries stuff.
Yeah.
But you like that? But
you were out in Holt, right? Did you have any seagull experiences?
No, we stayed in the car. Chris Joey, they're like, huge.
You know the kids on South William Street?
Yeah.
Nothing on the fucking Holt seagull. Nothing on them. I got my hair cut there as well, by the way. I was highly insulted during the week. I cut my hair, right? I was a different woman cut my hair. This is 2 weeks later, nearly.
Oh.
She took a fucking cutthroat razor onto the back of my head. So she goes, what do you want that was there? It was a different woman to what I'm used to, right? Claire wasn't there. Yeah, Claire wasn't there. So I was like, oh, we'll run with this. I sit down.
I'm trying new things.
And she was lovely. I was chatting to her, right? And she goes, what do you want? I was there just like zero on the sides and back and, you know, as short as you can make it so I don't have to brush it on the top, I says, right? And she's there, grand. That's what I always
what
ask.
What do you want? Just so I don't have to brush it.
Yeah, short enough so I don't have to put a brush to it. That's what I always ask, right? And she goes,
so
no problem.
Comb it?
She goes, skin fade. Well, yeah, okay, whatever. I don't know what that is.
Always very young and trendy.
Oh my God. She cut my hair with a fucking cutthroat razor. And then I went to the butcher's next door and I know the lads in the butcher's, right? And your man goes to me, look at the hair, come on you. You look like you should be throwing bottles on South William Street, you bollocks. I was there, that's the fucking, you can't abuse your customers like this. Is that you're a bit old to have a haircut like that, aren't
the
you?
Face.
There's more hair coming out of your ears than there is in the back of your head. Okay, I will spend my sausage money somewhere else, you cheeky little fuck.
While I'm here, give me four breasts of chicken and the next time I'm not coming back.
How dare you? Chicken balls and 12 sausages, thank you very much. I was going to make a point. I was going to tell you a story. It doesn't matter. Fuck it. We told that story instead. But
the change is good.
But I have to say, getting it, I don't know if I'll do it again. It was very raw. I kept slapping myself in the back of the head.
Did it feel
I think
nice?
I found burnt marks I didn't know I had and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. It felt lovely. Feeling the
Sheen loves when he gets his haircut. He loves the feel. You know, like of the.
Oh, the razor.
The razor after it goes on his head. He loves the feel of it.
Yeah, like Velcro. Feels like he got Velcro head.
It's like that talking to you and I'm like, okay. And he goes, just feels. It's like very satisfying.
Against the grain.
Against the grain.
Yeah,
exactly, against the grain.
Did you listen to what PJ was saying before he distracted us with his hair? No.
I was listening, but...
It doesn't matter.
It was
hugely unimportant.
We're talking about Hoth and the seagulls.
Oh, Hoth and the seagulls. Yeah. That's what I meant. I was talking about Hoth. So Hoth seagulls are a different...
But they're huge.
I remember years ago, right, listening to this Joe Duffy show.
Oh, my God.
And it was at the start of the seagulls being mental. Do you remember all this? The seagulls... People didn't realise seagulls were bastards back then, right?
Yeah.
Or they didn't realise how mad they were getting. And this man rang up. How mad we're getting. And this man, it just shows you how hyperbole and people get carried away with bullshit, right? And there was this guy, he was there going, the seagulls, and they, I had a fish in me mouth and he took the veer, the fish out of me mouth and my wife got a fright and I had to get stitches on me lip. It was all this sort of talk, right? And then this other guy rang in and goes, come here, Joe. I was down there and I was on the Hoth seafront and we were eating our scampi and chips and all, right? And he goes, and a seagull came down and he swung down and stuck his claws into the shoulders of a child in a pram, right? And he was going to fly away with the child. He had stuck his claws into the... And the child was bleeding and everything. And they had a guy on from Birdwatch Ireland. And I think his name is something real birdy. It's like Hatch.
Robin.
Hatch. His second name is Hatch.
Robin Hatch.
Yeah, something like that. Same as something Hatch, right? And he just was like going, yeah, okay, these... Or maybe it wasn't him. It doesn't fucking matter. But he goes,
I digress.
But he goes, okay, for a start, seagulls don't have claws. So this story sounds a little bit far-fetched to me. Like, they have webbed feet.
I saw it,
they have webbed feet.
I saw it, Joe.
No, your man starts
Joe.
Going, well, all I know is I seen an attack. You're like, I didn't see an attack. You saw somebody trying. But the bullshittery of it. So I know that there's no claws on them.
Right.
But they are a different breed
of
beast.
They're very aggressive.
I saw them gang up on people and all. Go following them down lanes and everything. I'm actually not fucking messing. Like, I've seen people in Holt having chips and everything. And then they walk up lanes. And on the off chance, they might drop something. They get followed up lanes and all. For a slash by seagulls. That's serious truth of life, Mike. Yeah, that's like serious truth of life.
Is that seagulls? Animal facts. If you go up a lane, a seagull will follow you to watch you slash and for hope of a chip.
I don't. Yeah, maybe. I would be afraid to piss in front of a seagull in case they confused my business for a scampi. That doesn't say much about my business, but I would be afraid of it. I would be afraid of it. They're so aggressive. Like, you throw one chip and you think, oh, so just I'll feed
They'll
one
go,
bird.
No, bad idea. Never
and next thing, they start fighting with each other and rah, this horrible noise. It's horror movie stuff.
We drove all the way out to Howth because my mum, literally on Saturday, was like, are you guys going out? And I was like, where? And then we didn't know what to do or where to go. And loads of people had suggestions. And I was like, Joe, I don't think I have patience for outdoor dining or any of that shit tonight. So we said, feck it, we'll drive out to Howth. So we said we'd drive out to Howth. Also, I don't think I'm going to the best place for chips. We're going to the more known two places, and their chips aren't floating my boat.
No, I prefer the
and
other
also,
one.
Also,
the one
the
with
story?
The crab on it.
Where? Oh yeah, I'll have to.
I
get,
prefer
yeah,
that one.
Yeah. So anyway, also, what's the story with the chippers on the north side? 9:30, your woman Anne sweating off her face. Her name was Anne, but like sweating off her face, trying to close. I'm like, it's 9:30. Like
trying to close. Yeah, 10:00.
Chips all the way till like 12:00 on the south side.
No,
so
10:00.
Close. Is that because of the tuggery? Anyway,
that's
so
tuggery.
So
she's
anyway,
a fucking outrageous.
Right. So we went all the way out to Howth, got our chips, and then we drove, which I've never driven down the side of the pier because we usually go to the far side where the you know where the toilets are and you can walk down
the
pier. Whereas we turned down this side where Wright's is. I don't know, you could sit. There was little restaurants the whole way down.
Oh, all the way down. To the lovely restaurants down there.
Yeah, so we're saying we might come out there one of the evenings and do that. Anyway, we drove all the way down and we parked. And so there was a feckin' ship, boat coming in.
A trawler.
Yeah, that. And Joe thought it was like Deadliest Catch. He like giving us thumbs up and all, like he was on a fucking school tour.
Yeah, I saw his video.
And then we realised we'd driven the whole way to Howth to sit in front of a fucking massive pile of rubble.
Yeah, they're doing some work
there. Literally,
there,
I just thought, is that going? That's all we can see is the rubble. But in fairness, we didn't give a shit. We were out of the house for a bit. And then we were driving home. And so we explained this. We won't go into the full reasoning behind it. But Joey's brain works on cars, wheels. And you had put up something ages ago, and he went, he saw something in the background.
He saw the car. He saw my ma's car.
He saw your ma's car.
It.
And
weird.
Then he saw your wheels, and he went, because as we were driving, because I've always said it, like, we know, I'm always like, that's the road. I'm like, sure, he could be any house on this road. And then and he goes, I'm telling you now. And then he goes, I guarantee you that's PJ's gaff. And I went, and he goes, take a picture and send it to him. And I went, that's a bit creepy. And he went, fucking send it to him.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's probably sitting in his room interfering with himself. Anyway, took a selfie, sent it to you. And you're like,
I was interfering with myself. I was brushing my teeth with an electric toothbrush.
See, I was right.
Yeah.
So anyway, yes. Yeah, so
well, I was in bed actually, but.
So we were like, we sent it or whatever, and then, but yeah, I was just like, you're a strange little man. But yeah, so that was us. So we went across, we had a nice time in Howth, but I'm definitely not going to the right place for chips. Also, do you go to Kinnarrick?
Oh my God, I love it. It's right beside the house. That's the best.
Well, I was trying to give away where your gaff was there, but now everybody knows.
I do go there, yeah. It's very, it's very close proximity.
The crab claws?
I've had the crab claws.
That's all. I think I'm
going to go. I've had the monkfish.
All I'm thinking about is Canara.
It's amazing.
And they don't do crab claws in their takeaway menu. But
no,
they're opening
don't.
Now. So I'm like, because we have one in Ranla.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
You'll have to come to Canara for a takeaway with
that's
us.
That's one of those places.
For
that,
an outdoor dining.
For an outdoor dining. I'm so sick of outdoor dining.
I've only done
outdoor
it once.
Outdoor fucking dining.
The Glenside had their
fucking
car park
sandwiches on the side of the bleeding road. That's what it is, you know what I mean? We're done. That's what it is, isn't it?
You've been out our way. Have you been out by the walking center roundabout, Al? Because I know you're kind of out about that. Have you seen the cherry tree roundabout?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they've tables, you know, the walking center roundabout, which my dad used to call the busiest roundabout in Europe.
It is.
Yeah.
There is people in at the Arc de Triomphe at that roundabout at the bottom of the Champs-Élysées that talk about the walking center roundabout. They say you think this is bad, sacre bleu, and they talk about
the walking center
what
roundabout, right?
Yeah.
So there's tables. I was
it's
like, can
mobbed,
I get a table? just beside the Walking Stair roundabout. So the whole way along that side of the Walking Stair roundabout, because like, oh, they're all desperately trying to use whatever outdoor space they have.
Yeah.
And theirs is at the Walking Stair roundabout. So like, we're going around the Walking Stair roundabout and just see all these lads sitting in their Dublin jerseys on Saturday, because they obviously got them for Father's Day, out having a pint of 20 to 12 outdoor dining on the fucking Walking Stair roundabout. So it's like,
on the roundabout,
I'll have a pint of Budweiser and
on
whatever.
On the roundabout.
It's, I swear, isn't imagine it going, as you go around.
Imagine you going for your sixth round and you have to cross the Walking Stair roundabout.
Yeah.
That's like,
I do everything in my power to
Russian
not
roulette.
Go through the Walking Stair roundabout.
It's, remember, was everything. It Italia 90? Do you remember,
yeah,
that video?
From yes. Michael Carruth's like house is literally just up that road.
You're
it's
shopping. You're basically, you're telling everyone where everyone lives today.
Yeah. Yeah. Who else do you want?
Who else lives in Walking Stair?
Although in fairness, I fucking, who else lives in Walking Stair? But in fairness, I obviously did myself, because somebody, I had put up something, I think maybe the Bouncing Castle, and someone sent me my address.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Why would someone
like,
do
you
that?
You live here. And I went, what? And they were like, well, just not to freak out, but I knew by, and sent like a Google map of my house. And I'm like,
I don't know. People are weird.
Oh my God. Speaking
but even like when you got stuck in your like traffic jam today, getting here.
Fucking stressed.
Like, he was able to just look on his phone and see where the traffic jam was because of Google Maps, like, and see where the red line was, yeah, about how bad the
literally
traffic is.
Literally just, and it just was there. It was the,
but
come off the,
it's weird though, that
Harold's
can
Cross.
Do that you're never hiding anymore. You know, yeah, what I mean? You can never, you can't just fuck off. That's what I do.
Because,
that,
see,
I find a great solace in being able to just fuck off.
Oh,
you
said that the other day,
and you can't do that anymore. You can't just get fucked, you know. If so, like, now it's at the stage where someone goes, ah, fuck off. You go, I can't, I'm trying. I'm trying to fuck off.
Although we see the,
and I
the
can't
funny
do
thing
it.
Is,
there's
is
nowhere
that
to go.
You were saying that is a bad thing of you going, because I did exactly the same. I looked at Google Maps because you were like, do you want to turn around and go home? And I went, I could see it was from Harold's Cross,
yeah,
literally at the bridge to here, because the car was here.
Yeah.
Because the canal, you can't, there's no fucking way around on the canal, right? But then the rest of the road is clear. And I'm sitting like that going, if I can just get to there, I'll absolutely billy it in. But I'm stuck here.
Yeah.
Like, just sitting going,
I know, yeah, yeah.
But it was,
but
a good thing
that,
for my maps.
Yeah, it is a good thing. Yeah, I know it has its benefits. I'm just saying, I'd
sound
love to be able to
right
fuck
right
off every so often.
But you can. You can just.
You can't. You have to, everybody knows. You have to, there's an answer. There'll be police out looking for you now. If you're proper fucked off, people will say you were kidnapped.
Oh, yeah, that's missing person
people
can't, stuff.
Yeah, I know. But years ago, you just went, oh, you're just gone. I haven't heard from him in ages. Remember when people just used to say that? Where's PJ? I don't know. I haven't heard from him in ages.
Actually, it's funny you say that.
And you get worried a year ago, boy, and you go, fucking hell, Christmas now. I'd say there's something wrong there. Someone give him a ring.
In fairness, you say that, though, because Joey did the same. Joey didn't hear from his brother in 12 hours, and he went, just haven't heard anything from DA.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, that's unusual. Has he been honest? Has he been online? And he goes, hasn't been online. So he texts his housemate going, is DA okay? Like, because we hadn't heard from him in 12 hours.
This is why your granddad always got tick when you saw him and there was a big furor. You know the way? Your granddad go missing, your grandmammy you go missing and all. And there's always this, where is she? Oh, Jesus. Did she not leave a message anywhere? Oh, fuck. What are we going to do? Is she in the hospital? Call the fucking guards. And they call the guards and you call the ambulance. And then you meet her. And she's there. I went for a walk and then I changed my mind to go and see my sister. What the fuck is wrong with you all? Because she just fucked off. And she didn't do anything wrong. And now she's realising she lives in a world where you're not allowed to just fuck off anymore. You have to check in. You have to tell people.
Oh, my mum is offended.
You have to be tracked by your phone. You've got to have all this shit. Yeah, you get offended. And then you're like, fuck off.
My mum gets offended when you say to her, which, by the way, she made us do our whole lives. So she minded the kids for a few hours on. Now, we were only out for like till whatever, just after 10 on Saturday night. And then we got home and I went, will you just ring my phone when you got home? And she went, what? And I was like, well, she was like, I'm fucking capable now of getting myself home, Suzanne. And I went, no, I know you are, Mum. I said, would you just let me know you got home? And where would I be going?
Yeah. Although, do you remember years
ago? She spent my whole life going, ring that phone when you get in or wake your father, not her.
But are you
wake
old enough to remember when years ago, phone calls were
ring
so
twice
expensive? Yeah,
didn't
you would
use
just
the phone.
Oh, no, phone calls were too expensive. So what you would do, you didn't get charged unless they answered.
Up.
So you would ring twice or three times.
Yeah.
So you'd ring twice to say you got home safe and they'd hear it.
Yeah.
And then you'd ring maybe again or something.
No, okay. We'd ring twice.
So, oh, yeah. So you have
did
to
you
go,
leave? Brr,
brr, you have to do three of them and then you'd hang up. And then if the young fella or something answers you, fuck you little
never,
prick. There you go. Another 25 pence. You swear I made a fuck of money. Made of it. 25 pence down the Swanee.
Did you have money in the press for a taxi just in case?
Yeah, we had it. Yeah,
so
there was
a
stash
in the corner.
Stash.
There was cash.
That had
was
to stop
cash,
though, because I kept spending it. Especially when I got to be a teenager.
Oh,
you know,
I know.
Like,
we had it
cans,
in the
sack
corner.
Sack of cans, everybody, sack of cans. It ain't for taxis, it's for my sack of cans.
Up there, tucked in the corner, that if you ever got stuck, there was always, my mom was like, just get in a taxi, there'll always be money in the press. Here, come here, I have to tell you about my awful experience.
What'd you do?
With Twitter.
Oh, you're all right, but you take this shit too personally.
No,
what
this
have you
isn't
done?
This isn't taking it too personally. This was like
what, were you attacked
full
or
on
something?
Yes. So
what happened?
So remember the picture I sent to you of my brother on the flight home from Denmark, and that the man or woman,
oh,
the person across from him.
Yeah.
So I put up a picture on Twitter.
He was wearing a full hazmat suit.
Yeah.
That
so
lad.
I simply said my brother flew home to Dublin today. This person sat across from him. You cannot identify the person. Can't see anything about them. They're just wearing a full hazmat suit. Grant. First couple of messages, Grant. Between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. on that Friday night, I was called a bully. I was called a mean girl. I was told the person was dying of cancer. I was told the person had a liver transplant.
Shut
they
up.
Then decided that it was a man. Then somebody else said it was a woman. Then people started to tweet Today FM and demand I lose my job.
Oh my God.
Then people, so a man with a bunny suit, with a union jack, was like, it's actually 2 days later, was still trolling, saying, it's a disgrace that this woman still has a show. What is your response, Today FM? Now, I don't even have a show on Today FM. So he didn't even properly read. But it got to the point, there was 600 messages of people telling me that I was a vile human being, that I was a disgrace, that I shouldn't have
600.
A job. 600 messages.
Of abusive messages.
Of abusive messages. Of people going,
fucking
you are a mean girl. You're a bully. This is an unsolicited 600 picture.
600 people calling your names is the opposite of being mean. Right?
So literally it started, like one or two people started and then literally, I mean.
So it was retweeted into some group or sent into some group or something for the.
Because I think a couple of people retweeted it and were like, this is really funny. And then. It just, like, so between, I think, like, the first bad message came at, like, 11 o'clock and at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was awake and I ended up deleting the message.
Oh, my
because
God.
Because the abuse.
I only saw your response to it.
Yeah, so then I just didn't make any comment. And that someone was like, you're an absolute fucking disgrace. That person has cancer. This person is dying.
But nobody knows who this person is.
And you know, the irony of it was somebody else sent me a message on Twitter and said, I work for a multinational. And when we travel now, we have to wear that suit because they know that we're vaccinated. But they, for their, he said for their side of the deal, basically, so that the company for care of duty for their employees, he was saying they now make us wear these bloody suits. He said, so, and like again, my brother had spoken to the person across from them and was like, and they were like, yeah, for work we have to wear them. So they were like, but literally it was like, so they were tweeting like, and it was like there was three people in particular who they just went on every single thread, like and just commented going, just went and was like, she's an absolute fucking scumbag, she's a disgrace, and was atting me and Today FM and everything and going, what is your reply? I presume she'll be losing her job. Like literally 3 o'clock in the morning, sitting at the side of my bed going, and Joey was like, he would fall asleep and he woke up and he was like, what's going on? And I was like,
you're freaked now at this
I'm
stage.
Bawling. I'm absolutely bawling going, they're trying to get my job. They're trying to get me. Like, and I was like, and actually it just shows the surface of it because they read the first line. They didn't look down. So nobody tweeted Ireland AM. They literally all just saw a voiceover Today FM and all just started like tweeting Today FM and like someone going, you know, it was like, how can you live it yourself? How could you do this? So then it was just all these women going, you're like, what a mean girl. Oh my God, you're such a bully. Like,
but that must have been because it was put in some other form or something somewhere.
Yeah. So
definitely like that was a pylon from some other place.
It just came from nowhere. And I was just like, I can't reply to one because there's just so many. So then I deleted it. And then somebody else, like they were still all commenting on the person that I was. So it was like, yeah, really nasty, mean thing to do. And I was just like, I can't. And so eventually I just put up a message and went, just for the record, I just went, isn't this a mad, this could be our future of how we travel. I didn't comment on what they were wearing. I didn't comment whether they were male or female.
Yeah, I know, but you kind of probably thought it was a bit funny as well. Because it is, it's ludicrous that that's the world we're living in. You have to put on a hazmat suit.
But it's like,
fucking play.
But also, I'm just kind of going,
no matter what the reason, it's awful.
Then the amount of people who sent me messages going, if you travel anywhere now, that's all you see in the airport. It's just fucking standard practice. Brilliant. But it was like I picked the perfect storm of Twitter that night. But this is how bad it was, right? To the point that I was on air on Today FM.
All that Be Kind thing was just such a lot of bullshit, like, wasn't it? It's always the same fucking people, though.
The
same fucking people who do
people
Be Kind. They'll also say, no, fuck you. But no, we're saying fuck you because you're not kind enough. So fuck you. You know, it's like it's...
But it was like, and then someone else said, you know, oh, I hope, you know... Like if your kid, like something about my kids, which is just like, what the fuck do people be at? But anyway, when you bring my kids into it, I just get a bit wobbly. But like, as in, you know, what? How would you like someone to take a picture of your child and do that? Or like, and I'm going, there's no reply. There's no, it was just a full on everybody in, everybody. And I, even when I got rid of it, actually Anton Savage sent me a message. I was like, fuck me, Suzanne. Are you okay? That escalated. And I was like, Anton, I just went. He goes, it's the funniest. He goes, even like if you look at some of the stuff. So anyway, I was really rattled. Saturday, I still wasn't that great on it. And then Sunday, some fucking person in England with a fucking Union Jack starts tweeting Today FM going, when are you firing this presenter for fake news, for spreading fake news? They had seen it on Facebook. Screenshotted, went to the trouble of finding me on Twitter, and then started to then. So, and then, like,
loads of those 600 people did that exact same bullshit the first time. Yeah.
So I was just like going, but I went into work on Tuesday. So I was covering for a week then on Today FM. I swear to God, I was on edge. I just sat there on edge going, I can, if someone texts into the radio show or they go on, there's like a radio thread on boards, right? And someone goes, I fucking hate that presenter. Or I can kind of take it. Like I kind of go, Grant, I'll listen to your, when you're on air and I'll criticise you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when it escalates to that and happened.
When you know people are out for you.
But I was like, they weren't even, it wasn't even like they were out for me. They were just out for something on Twitter that they decided that they were going to go and be absolutely horrified over that they, really on a Friday night, if you're still tweeting someone that they're a monster at 2 o'clock in the morning, for you know what I mean? It was like, it really opened my eyes. Like one person on Instagram sent a message going, Jesus, like, did that person know that their picture was being taken? It might be a bit unsolicited or whatever. And I was like, as it turned out, my brother chatted with them the whole way home. But like, there wasn't that level of, but I went into work on Tuesday completely on edge, like just, was just like, I physically am not able for that level of nastiness. Like, but even there's a whole website online that just comments on influencers and comments on Instagrammers, and the shit is vicious. Like, and I get it. Like, there's loads of people online I don't particularly like. There's loads of people online that I'm like, that's not legit, or they're doing that for likes, or Jesus, that's a bit. But I wouldn't go out of my way to send them a message or to find them on Twitter or to go onto a website and slag them off. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
It's dehumanising someone. Once you dehumanise someone, it's very easy to do.
Yeah.
Like once you look at the name, Suzanne Kane, the Twitter account, then you forget that it's a human being, or you just don't care it's a human being. So you just go, fuck you. It's so easy to piss on someone and just carry on with your day.
But it's funny
when you're not looking someone in the face, you know. Like that, when you're not looking a human being in the face, it's very easy to be an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we all think we care about homelessness, but we don't do anything about homelessness because we're not looking at them as real people. But when homelessness walks up and shakes you by the fucking hand, you suddenly realise what a problem it is.
Mm.
I guess it's the same in a way that you see people who are, people just don't see human beings for being human beings. And online, anywhere, like, you know, they forget that you're, that was just a real life person behind these accounts.
Because I sat there going, I was like, am I? I was like, God, was that a really bad thing? Was it really nasty of me to, was I being nasty there? And then I was like, I didn't mean it. And I actually thought it was funny, but I didn't mean it in a funny ha 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 laugh at you, nasty. I just think, oh my God, this is our fucking lives. This is a pandemic. This is a true representation of what a pandemic looks like, that this is perfectly normal. And it was like,
but is that pandemic related? It probably isn't, is it? Like, that's just, people are going to do that. People were doing that before the pandemic. They'll do it after.
But it'll pop up. So it could pop up somewhere else. Somebody else put it up on a different night, and it could. Do you know what I mean? It was like, I don't know. It was. that level, like that I look at how it upset me and how it affected me, that I then go, there's kids going on social media and they're getting cancelled and they're getting piled on.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting at home and I'm a grown up and I know how that fucked me up and I still know how I feel about it. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, I don't know. I like it fucking rattled me. Like,
I'm going to get you is what it is, isn't it? Yeah. I will fucking get you.
Yeah. I just.
It's also like people getting upset on behalf of somebody else.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The person that has my, if that person had tweeted you and said, oh, that's actually me before you took it down, you'd be like, absolutely fine, I'll take it down.
Yeah.
But all of these people actually don't know what this person felt. And maybe this person was like, oh, cool, my picture's on Twitter, you know.
Yeah.
They're like furious on behalf of this person that none of them know who it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it could be Boris Johnson sitting in the suit.
Yeah.
And they'd be all like, oh, take Boris Johnson down if you can.
It could be a fucking murderer.
But they haven't a clue, like, yeah. And they're going mad at you for, and I don't even get what was mean about it. Like, I don't.
Yeah, and but it makes, that's like, I'm literally sitting outside the bed. But when somebody sent a picture going, how, you know, I hope someone fucking puts up pictures of your kids or something. I just went,
yeah, so they lose the plot.
Are we going
then
here? Like,
yeah,
I'm just
that
like,
is literally that the plot is. Yeah. Well,
you know, and if your kids get bullied in school, this is your fault. You did this. I'm just like, oh man, we've gone too far here. Like, but it happened. I saw it happen.
People every day.
Twitter has been a weird space, but. Like,
for a long time, though.
Yeah, Jesus.
It's happening,
like,
all the time, though. Yeah. Twitter is a very dangerous place to hang around in.
Yeah, I just...
Twitter's a dangerous place to hang around in.
It kind of felt like, why would you stand on the road? Why would you be there? Like, why would you stand on the road for people just to fucking throw mud at you? Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't think I've ever felt so fucking vulnerable in my life, like... And I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't.
No, because there is no response. Because if you made any response, it would make the thing definitely worse. Yeah. There is no right answer. That's the thing. You can't defend yourself. You have to just get shit on.
Yeah.
Gotta get shit
Isn't
on.
That
That's
horrible,
the only
like,
way through it. The only way to look at light at the end of the tunnel is to just wait for them to pick their next victim and fuck off.
Yeah.
That's the only way. You cannot put fuel in the fire. And everything that comes out of your mouth, because they've already made the decision, you're a fucking asshole. Everything you say, they're going to find a hole and walk all over you. Like you said, you put up a picture with no comment at all on it. Or bar, whatever. This person was on a flight.
I said this person flew home beside him.
Right, so there is no right answer then.
Yeah.
So you trying to defend yourself looks really, really, really bad to these people.
Yeah.
It looks really bad to
these
people.
So I just was like, I can't reply.
Now she knows she's wrong. Now she's making excuses.
Yeah.
And then pick the sentence apart, so it's taken out of context. You can't. So you just have to get shit on.
But it just
which is really bad bullying. Like, it's terrible.
It rumbled into Tuesday. I was on air in Today FM on Tuesday, and I literally sat there going, they're going to come in and tell me to leave.
But that's why when kids and all get bullied, that's what they say. They know that speaking up makes it worse.
Yeah.
Or, you know, back in our days, it definitely fucking did. Hopefully it's different now. But they know that speaking to defend themselves or telling someone made it fucking worse.
Yeah, because then the person got called out and then they went in and said, you told your mom.
You know, and it made it fucking worse. And that's what this is. This is exactly the same as that. It's exactly the same as that.
But
so the person who's getting bullied has to shut the fuck up and just get hit.
Yeah.
Just get fucking hit.
Yeah.
It
was the most, like, truest of the bizarrest. And, like, I couldn't get over how badly, like, how rattled I was by it. Like, that even, I went in to do my show on Tuesday and I was like, oh, they're going to come in and tell me to leave and then I was terrified they'd find me. That they'd start texting into the radio station. I was like, they're going to start texting in now because I've not doing anything on Twitter. They're going to find me here and now they're going to just start piling on and abusing me here. Now, in fairness, other than one man who, by the way, speaking of which, who texted into the show, I talk about country people, right? I said about, like, you know, when you go on holidays a million years ago and you meet a fella from the country, like, I don't know, from Kerry or Tyrone or whatever, and that you say, like, is there going to be together forever? And you're like, whatever. And then you get home. And someone texted in and said that I used the word culchi and that it's not culturally appropriate. And using the word culchi is the same as using the N-word.
Culchi?
As soon as using the N-word.
Are you messing?
Nope.
Well, as someone who's 97% male, I can't call myself a culchi. It hurts too much.
Yeah, so that was the madness of it.
What a week you've had. Holy shit, what a fucking week you had.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I haven't done, and needless to say, I really haven't done a lot on Twitter.
Dear,
I think I'm going to come off it. I don't.
You're better off. Just delete the app off your phone for a while. I did it for how many months? Like during the pandemic, I had to get rid of Twitter because it was so horrible and so toxic. I couldn't read it. It really fucked me up. It's fucking messing with my head.
I've tweeted
so
is,
I just got rid of it. And it did me the world of good.
Yeah. I just retweeted your thing about the defibrillator the other day. And I got
shit over that as well by some people. Yeah, that you just get shit because Twitter's where you go to get shit. You know, Twitter's where you go to get shit. You get shit. That's just that
so
simple.
So are we all in agreement that there's nothing good comes from Twitter?
Well, I mean, generally most people, again, are all right. But you just have to, I mean, you just got to go there and take hits. It's like joining your local boxing club, isn't it? You join your local boxing club and 99% of the people are really, really sound and they're really good. It's a great community and there's a lot of really, really nice people there and they look out for each other. And sometimes if you're fucking lonely, Twitter's not a bad place to go. But you're going to get punched in the face. You're going to get punched in the face.
I think I'm all right for getting punched in
the
face.
You know, you're going to get punched. So if you don't want to be punched in the face, don't go to Twitter. Don't join a boxing club if you don't want to be punched in the face. Go somewhere else. Join fucking, I don't know, get into badminton.
What do you think?
Instagram is the badminton of social media. Twitter is the boxing club. You know, you can have a lot of crack, but you're going to get punched in the face. Instagram, yeah, fucking, you know, you bang the shuttle to each other. Fucking like, pop, like, pop. It's not even as fast as tennis. Everyone's fucking hanging around, looking at each other's fucking new sandals and sandwiches. You know, it's a gentler place to pop up. And then you got to remind yourself that badminton isn't the real world. Every so often you got to go, okay, life isn't a badminton match. All these fucking badminton players look fantastic and all, but this is just one fucking volley in the shithole of life as well.
That's true.
And then, I don't know, go to TikTok. What's that? That's fucking hurling or something. Fucking rapid fire.
TikTok is not my lane. I've no business being.
I'm 46. If I'm on TikTok, I'm a fucking criminal.
No. Oh, the FC, there's a lot.
Totally criminal, man. If you're 46 on TikTok, you're a criminal, man.
Right. Do you know who I love on Instagram? Do you follow the pool boy? Follow the pool boy for your pool work.
No, who's I've never heard of him.
Oh, so satisfying. It's a guy in the UK and he cleans pools, right?
Never heard. What? Why would I follow this person?
Oh, my God. You would love him. He's so, I love him. He's English and he cleans pools. And at the end of all of his stuff, he goes, follow your pool boy for the pool work. Now, that's a really bad English accent, but you get what I'm saying. I'll find it. So he videos himself cleaning the pools.
Yeah.
The pool guy.
So I've never heard of this
guy. So then he does little reels, right? So look, see the pool.
All right, come to get this pool ready for the summer. It's a little bit green. What I'm going to do is check the chemicals first. Obviously no chlorine and the pH is already looking really high. So what I'm going to have to do is get some pH minus,
acid, throw that in
to lower
the
pH. And then I'm going to get some chlorine granules and some shock.
It's going to shock. So clean the pool.
Disturb the algae. The pool was struggling to clear, so I had to come back and flop the pool.
Flop the pool.
Which is what I done, which is why it looks like it does now. Get the vac set up.
Here's my favourite bit.
The pump, prime the hose, and start vacuuming. So what it looks like is
the pool.
Snow on the floor, basically. But you've got to be so careful when you vacuum after you flop, because it's so sensitive.
I do.
Any sudden movements in the pool, and it'll just make it go really messy and
cloudy again.
But it's all coming up nicely. There's a lot of leaves in there. You can see by the basket. This is where the debris goes at Hebra. Full bucket load at the end.
Look.
That's the job done. Holly your boy for the pool work. All right, come to get this pool.
Holly your boy for the pool work.
And the name of God, if I just watched.
That felt like a very visual thing.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel, as an audience member, I feel...
Sorry,
I can see that she kept
visual.
Saying, look, look, as it was playing.
Sorry, I apologise.
But a very green pool does look very nice and blue, like a holiday
I'm
pool at the end. I will say
now.
That.
Mad for a pool now.
I didn't you want one?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd
the pool guy and his oh
gargle
his
my
heroes.
Own shite.
Have,
a, have
pool.
A pool.
Well,
the amount
will.
Of hassle. Are you joking? I can hardly keep a kitchen. And never mind fucking the hassle and
follow your boy
the
for the pool work. I'm absolutely mad into him now. He's deadly. He just it's just you know those really sad. It's like the ASMR that you hate.
Yeah.
But it's really
I'll
satisfying.
I'll be obsessed with this shit.
I'm telling you now. Follow your boy for the pool work. Now let me see. I like him a lot. Oh, also question. Here's something. I was talking to someone the other day who'd been out, obviously outdoor dining, had been out on the Rizzer, on the Alpine Saru, and they were talking about sleep paralysis.
Oh, have you ever had that?
No, right? Yeah. Have you had this?
Yes.
Have you had the man?
No, I haven't had the man, but I've felt the weight. I've felt the weight of the man.
Stop. So,
I've had the weight of the man.
Have you heard of this, Alan?
Yeah.
I have, my hands are sweating already. I have never heard of this. Actually, now I'm getting anxiety talking about it.
It's terrifying.
So he was saying to me, he goes, you know, the pro, and I went, well, I've kind of heard of that or whatever. And he goes, but you heard about the man. And I went, I don't.
Oh, the man.
I've never heard about the man. And he goes, so the man came last night.
Oh, Jesus.
And I went, what the fuck is the man? Now, you know what? You know, one of those things where they're like, I'm like, I really want to know about the man, but I don't think I want to. I started crying when he was talking about the man. So the man whispered to him. We'll talk about what the man is in a second. So the man whispered to him. So he lives with somebody else. So let's say the person he lives with is Sean. So he went, I'm going for Sean. I'm back for you now.
Fuck off now.
Right?
This is not the man I ever met, thank God.
Right?
Yeah.
So he could feel the man was in the room, couldn't see him.
Sitting on his chest.
No, he said he just felt him behind. And then the man went, he said the man was at the door, then felt him behind, couldn't see him. And then man went out. And then he said he kind of was like trying to pull himself out of it. And he said then he felt the chest. And the man was like, so two of his friends lived together and they'd all been out at the thing. And he said, I already, so say PJ and Al. He said, I've already got PJ and Al. You're next.
Well, then this is all, you're going to have to tell me more about this man, because the man I've heard about when it comes to sleep paralysis.
Can you deal?
The man I've heard about when it comes to sleep paralysis is the man that sits in your chest, right? And if you look back through the years, hundreds of years, there's all these amazing paintings of the demon that sits on chests and the man that sits in the chest. It goes back years and years and years, because when you get sleep paralysis, obviously you're in a dark room when this hits. You wake up suddenly, your body does not move. It cannot move.
Again.
You cannot breathe. Nothing happens.
Yeah.
And then you try to make a sound and you can't, because your vocal cords, everything's shut down.
Yeah.
But you feel this weight in your chest, and this is the man sitting on your chest. And then people, so, and you can feel it. It does feel like somebody's literally sitting on your chest. And then, but before your own breath kicks in, I think a lot of the times you can hear your own breath go before you feel it. So it feels like
there's the man.
Somebody's sitting on your chest breathing in your ear, which is a fucking horrifying thing.
Yeah.
And, but, they, you know, and then it's that gasp and trying to speak. And you go, your own fucking breath terrifies you. But I've never heard of a fucker standing behind you. This is a whole new man for me.
So this is
Have you had a man standing behind you?
No, and I would die.
Yes,
well,
I would die as well.
He was
going
to kill you anyway, so I've never heard.
I've never heard
you die yourself or the man kills you. It's hard stuff.
No, but yeah. I've only heard of a man who sits on you, or who puts his weight on your chest.
He Googled it after, right? And was like, so like that, he said there's the man with the pressing on the chest,
yeah.
But then there's the man that you feel, but he said apparently it just depends on whatever your particular fear or whatever your mind allows the man to be. So his thing was that the man was gone to kill his
Jesus Christ,
his,
that's awful.
Roommate, and had the two people he was out with, the man was gone
they
to kill.
They were dead already.
He'd already killed them and he's going to kill them next. Because he said he'd slightly woken up, had paralysis but could breathe and was aware. It was like, oh, this sleep paralysis, okay, well, yeah, I need to try
you're
and...
You're still in that dream stage
yeah,
as
he
well.
He was like, come on. And was doing to try and do whatever.
Can't do anything, only lie there and panic.
He said the panic, and then he said he obviously just went back asleep again. And then, as you say, it probably was his breath going, but to him then it was like, and the man,
yeah.
He said the man was at the door. Then he said he could feel the man behind him. And I fucking haven't slept.
Because the man, because the man's coming to get you.
Will I look it up?
Well, you can look it up. You'll see it. The best thing about sleep paralysis is looking up if you can find them, all those old paintings, because they're horrifying.
Ooh,
of demons and all of those things. And little
terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And some people get to awful night terrors. I know a couple of comedians.
Oh, she gets horrific night terrors.
Get worse night terrors and freak out. And I used to go out with a woman and she used to get terrible night terrors. Like she would wake up and start running around the room sometimes.
Have you seen Mike Birbiglia? He sleepwalks.
Yeah.
You see,
he's brilliant.
He has to sleep in a whole suit.
Shut up.
Yeah, because he completely like goes.
You're kidding.
Yeah. Condition may occur in those who are otherwise healthy, those with narcolepsy. May run in families as a specific, I never say that word, genetic changes. Conditions can be triggered by sleep deprivation. Fuck, it could happen to me. Psychological stress, that's me as well, Twitter. And abnormal sleep. Like literally, I tick all those three boxes. The underlying mechanism is believed to involve dysfunction or REM sleep. Sleep paralysis is commonly experienced by lucid dreamers. Someone lucid dreamers are used to a method of having lucid dreams. Diagnosis is based on the person's descriptions. Other conditions can be present similar to narcolepsy, atomic seizures, hypoleukemic periodic paralysis. Where's the man? I'm actually sitting, my mouth is a bit like, woo. don't know. Prevention. Don't go to sleep.
Oh, that the demon. If even put it in sleep paralysis demon, and you'll get all the stuff about it.
I'm gonna put in sleep paralysis man.
I'm not
putting in demon.
It's you're gonna. Oh, you have to put dead man.
Man in room. Oh, demon in bedroom.
Yeah, the demon. Yeah, little
oh, my
fucker.
God. Oh God, I don't know. Do I really want to read this?
Yeah.
Can someone wake you from your sleep paralysis? Sleep paralysis demons. What's really going on here? Okay, hang on. Oh, this looks like Healthline. This looks like a legit.
Ah, yeah. No, you're not going to get the ancient shit.
You wake in the middle of the night and there's a menacing presence that you can feel and you can see when you open your eyes. Scared like the Dickens, try to scream and bolt, but you can't. It's like you're paralyzed and being held down by an evil presence. What in the world is happening? Three words, sleep paralysis demons. It's a thing and you're not the only one who's experienced it. Read on to learn more. How people describe it. It's like a demon that's trapped in your body, unable. You're unable to move or scream and it depends. It's fate. It's shapeless presence trying to suffocate you.
Yeah.
Otherwise described as a creepy old hag with claws. Fuck me. Some see as an alien. Some experience it to be an alien abduction. Others demon look like a dead relative. Wonderful. My dad could be in. Different cultures, different explanations for sleep paralysis. Canadian attribute the sleep paralysis to the shamans. The Chinese folklore says it's vengeful spirits that are suffocating their enemies in their sleep.
Yeah, that's
That'd
a good one,
isn't it? 600 people from Twitter. Brazilian folklore says that it's Pesaria, which is Portuguese for she who steps. She's a crony with a long fingernails who lurks on the rooftops at night. Jesus Christ, then walks on the chest of people in their sleep with a belly up on full stomach.
I don't know.
Are the demons real?
Of course they're not fucking real. Now, don't be starting that.
The short answer is sort of. The paralysis is real and it's called sleep paralysis. The phenomenon of seeing someone demon-like while experiencing sleep paralysis is also real. It's called a hyphalutic hallucination.
Hyphalutin.
Yeah, exactly. As for the demon itself, we're not real, they promise. However, they might be a shred of truth in the belly-up component of the Brazilian fairy fable. As it turns out, you're more likely to experience sleep paralysis while sleeping on your back.
Oh, yeah, because they sit on your chest. It's always on the chest with me, anyway.
Oh, my God, so much to it.
Or twice that I've had it, always.
So I thought I was one of the only people who had never heard this.
Oh, no, it's a thing. Yeah.
Oh,
it's a thing.
There's a friend of my wife's who gets something like it, and whenever they are together in like a hostel or something, she regularly
hostel. We're cool.
Yeah,
we hostel.
She would regularly wake up one of the other friends and just be like, "There's a man on the end of your bed."
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Freaks the fuck out of.
Oh
all
my
of them.
God, that's not on.
I'd never go away with her.
That's not on. I would never speak to that person again. I'd be like, "I'm so sorry, but I just don't like you as a person anymore."
Oh my god.
Oh my god, that's horrendous. Yeah. There's someone at the end of your bed.
Oh, I don't like it.
That's the most horror movie thing.
There's another one. Then there's a man at the door. Yeah, and then it's like, he's gone to the kitchen.
He's gone to the kitchen? Yeah. Who is?
Do you, know, the man? Yeah. Do you know the only thing that I've ever experienced that's been anywhere like that? But I think, again, it was grief. Not long after my dad died, I woke up crying and I thought my dad was sitting at the end of the bed. And I said to him, I was crying and I said, "I've been looking for you everywhere." And he was like, I've been here all the time.
Have you ever seen the episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer? I'm not fucking around here. It is one of the greatest episodes of TV I've ever seen.
We're actually watching Buffy at the moment.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to get to an episode.
Here's the treat.
Yeah.
You're going to get to an episode. This is a slight spoiler, right?
Right.
You're going to get to the episode. Well, no, I don't want to say it because it will
be. Go on, Scran. It's like a 20-year-old show.
Well, you're going to get to the episode where her mother dies.
Right.
And that episode is one of the greatest episodes of TV you are ever going to see in your fucking life.
Because can Buffy see dead people?
No. Listen, of course she can. She's a fucking vampire slayer, for the love of Jesus. Everyone in the fucking thing is dead. But there's this amazing episode and there's no music in it.
Right.
They kill off all the music. There's no music. It's shot completely different. It's directed totally differently. And it sums up the death of a parent in a way I've never seen it done on TV.
Really?
You know this shit that you're talking about now? This fucking weird semi-hallucinatory fucking subconscious where you start having these very lucid conversations with dead people?
Yeah.
It sent me in. I couldn't believe how realistic it was.
Really?
So there's these moments where she has these very brief, very
flashes.
Strange flashes and proper conversations like that. I had those things. I remember walking into the room. I remember having this dream. I swear to God, I thought it was so real. Where my father walked into the room and I said, "You're dead." And he goes, "Yeah, I know, yeah." And I was like, "But you're dead." And he goes, "It's all right." And I was like, "What the fuck is going on?" And then you wake up in the cell. Ah! Bastard! Cold, like hair standing on edge. Really, really weird.
Real.
And people have had this, said this stuff too. Like, just like you just told me now, just this amazing story you just told me, like, where it's so loose and so real. And it's like, not just a dream, it's like a thing
but
you
I
will never
feel
forget.
It.
You can still feel it.
I can feel him, sitting on the bed. Like, you know,
I've goosebumps
the
now.
Sheet.
Yeah, I've goosebumps now. I still get a really direct emotional response.
Yeah.
Well, this episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer is all about
I kind of want to go
moments.
And watch it.
It's all about those moments. And I am fucking, it's so good. It sums up so well. And
have
there's
you
no music.
With
it's
your
that
dad?
Flat, weird, fucking weirdly emotional space that you're in when someone dies where you're not sad and you're not happy because you haven't gotten to either end yet.
That's it, yeah.
You're just in this really weird, functioning, strange fucking place where you're reacting to things.
Yeah.
And it's the whole episode's about that. It's
oh
brilliant.
My God. But did you
brilliant.
Have them with your dad, those random, like I don't, like, I haven't had, but I do, and it was exactly that. That initial shock of him being dead and the actual reality of grief. I was somewhere transient in the middle of them, but I know it's mental, but I can still feel. I still lived at home, and at where he would have sat at the end of my bed, we'd come in for a chat. I can still feel that my duvet was pressed down. Like I can feel it at my feet that someone had sat at my duvet, and I looked. And I was like, "I've been looking for you everywhere." And he was like, "But I've been here." But I knew he was dead. Do you know? But I remember that feeling of going, "Oh, that's okay. You're there." Like it was like everything lifted for a second.
It's weird,
it was like he was there, and I went, "Oh, you're there. That's
fucking
all
I
needed." But
you,
then I used to go asleep at night though sometimes because I'd be like, you know, people would pray to see their dead people. I used to go asleep at night going, "Dad, don't now fucking."
Oh,
turn
is that
up.
Regular?
Yeah, lots of people I know would like pray to say like, "Show me a sign that you're there." Or
oh, no,
like,
I know that, but
I'd be like, going now, don't fucking appear. I don't want you to appear.
Oh yeah. It wasn't that he was appearing all the time.
I didn't do it yesterday.
Don't do it tonight.
Yeah, it was just I didn't want to, a continuation of like. But I could feel him being there, and I could feel the relief of going, I was looking for you, and he was going, "Sure, I'm here. Like, I've been here all the time." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And I wasn't afraid or anything. I wasn't like a...
Yeah.
It was just like a kind of relief. And then I went back to bed.
Season 5, episode 16.
Where are you in your season?
Oh, only on season 2, so...
Oh. FF.
Yeah. I'm going to stop watching now. It's all been spoiled anyway.
No,
it isn't. Her mom dies.
Season 5, episode 16.
FF.
And what's good about it is she doesn't die from any weird ghostly shit. She has a brain aneurysm. It's a real normal episode. It's a real normal thing.
Yeah, well, I look forward to it.
Winner all round then.
Yeah.
Brain aneurysm.
There you go.
For a Tuesday
Something
or a Wednesday.
To look forward to, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Christ. Anyway, that's all my news. Have you got anything fun to bring to the table?
No, I think that's it. No, I think I came in relatively grumpy and I'm leaving pretty much the same.
Wonderful.
Yeah, talking about my problems just makes me realise they're there.
Good.
I'm happy enough. Yeah, no, happy about it. So that's us, I guess,
for this week. I won't be late next week. Well, are we going to record on Monday then again? When is this going out? Tomorrow?
Why not?
I'll try and get it out today, yeah.
What day is today?
Today is Thursday.
I've fucking no idea. My kids aren't sleeping at the moment. None of them are sleeping. Nobody in my house is sleeping.
Elaine's not sleeping.
It's too warm.
Do you think that's what it is?
It is for me anyway. It's just too fucking warm.
No, I just think... Like,
no. No, I'm sorry, Alan. It isn't. You're going to have to reanalyze where you're not sleeping.
I actually would have a better idea. Like Oisin, who sleeps all of the time. Oisin, like, and he does this thing because he's in the attic.
No, Alan. That's not why you're not sleeping.
Oisin's in the
fucking
attic.
Poor excuse, my
and
friend.
You just hear him going, "Hello? Hello? Is anybody there?" And then one of us has to go up. And then Hannah's just like a little, she looks a bit demonic. She's like a little sleepwalker. And I was asleep and I just felt like something against my nose. And I just opened my eyes and she's like that. "Mom?" I was like, "Hannah." And she's like, "Can you come in and read me a story?" I'm like, fucking hell. Then Sadie wakes. It's just like literally.
You're
going
to have to start doing the shit they used to do to us when we were kids and say Fennigan. The boogeyman is under the bed.
No, Hannah has anxiety at the best design.
Yeah, when you get out of bed at night, don't worry about fucking each of them.
I used to be afraid of going along the side of my landing because my brother used to tell me that, like, someone will grab your legs.
Yeah.
You know, like the banisters.
Yeah, I used to be afraid to get out of the jacks, to go to the jacks in case the hand would come out and grab me ankles when
yeah,
I was going to the toilet.
That's a normal one, right?
You know, the hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
All that normal shit. There you
anyway,
go.
Anyway, we're glad we've brought you fucking terror today.
Yeah. I'm delighted welcome. We had a bit of terror in the podcast today.
We need to find a scientist to find. Well, do you know what? By the time we meet on Monday, loads of things will have changed.
Yeah, so let's. Yeah, we'll
do you
do
think
that.
I'll be going to Portugal in August?
I don't know. Honestly, I just don't know. I really don't know. I hope so.
So do I.
Yeah, I really hope so. Yeah. I hope I'm going to the Bowls match. Well, no, I won't go to the Bowls match. I'm not allowed to go to that.
When's the Bowls match?
Oh, no, it's like 2 weeks or something.
How many people are allowed to go to that one?
Nobody. You're not supposed to. Still non-essential travel is the thing, so I'll have to wait. So hopefully
you
if they get
travel
through.
Travel around the country now.
No, it's Iceland.
Oh.
No, the Iceland game. So hopefully if they get past...
Could you get a job to do the names on that?
No, I don't think so.
Can I take the names for everybody getting on the
But page? If they get through the Iceland one, then it'll be somewhere in Luxembourg in August. So maybe that'll be the one. So we'll
what
see.
Date is that? Oh yeah, we're allowed to travel from the 16th of July, aren't we?
Supposedly, which is something I love saying. Supposedly. Supposedly, probably we will, yeah.
What does your ma used to say? Supposing, there's something. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Right, well listen, thanks for listening. That's it, really.
That's it. See you later. Peace. Talk to you Monday, you know. Or Tuesday, or whenever it's out again.
Watch out for the demons.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.